present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an advertisement seen in the Winchester News Extra, read by Peter Donaldson.
Buy three tyres for the price of four and get the fourth tyre absolutely free.
Thanks, Richard Lindley of Winchester, for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Krishnan Guru Murphy. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Linda Smith. Jeremy, your first question. Why does the Home Office want all our days to be numbered?
Oh, it's David Blunkett who wants us all to have a little piece of plastic with every fact about ourselves on it and in bits of our DNA stuck behind sellotape and fingerprints and eye maps and things that are unique to us. And it's the idea that we should all be tracked constantly, day and night, electronically tagged by it, so the government knows what we're doing. The idea is you'll have one card which will effectively be your passport, your driving licence, your credit card, your birth certificate, your Blockbuster video card, and you'll lose the bastard. Your whole life will snap in half when you're trying to spring a lock in your own house. But this is the idea, and they say, well, it's all right, because we had them during the war. But during the war, an ID card was just a piece of cardboard that said, this is Mr. Wilkins, who's not a German spy. What they are proposing is something somewhat more elaborate. It will be a little piece of plastic that says, this is Mr. Wilkins, he is not a German spy, but his library books are overdue, he's against GM crops, and his auntie supports Glasgow Celtic.
And if you've got a problem with it, according to Mr. Blunkett, you are an intellectual pygmy.
Really?
Which seems quite unfair on pygmies, I think.
Well, presumably they did have intellectual pygmies.
Well, exactly.
And had big debates with the bushmen. Tiny debates, no bigger than your thumb. That's insane. Are there any pygmies around? Have they been exterminated, the pygmies?
Not so as you'd notice.
Because it's...
they're difficult to spot, this, I think, is the trouble.
It's called an entitlement card. It doesn't actually entitle you to anything, as far as I can see, except to say piss off to a copper, because you don't have to show it. It isn't compulsory. You can be stopped by a policeman, and he says, have you got one of those at home? And you say, yes. He says, where do you live? And you say, Buckingham Palace. And he says, well, I'll be round tomorrow, and I'd like to look at your card. It's an extremely bizarre thing.
But they hold it against you, though, don't they? If they ask you a question,
cold.
You don't answer. If you say anything lippy or smart-alecky...
They hold it against you,
like
very
that? Against you very hard. Special love truncheon. They do, yeah.
But you're right, everything's on it. You could be scraping frost off your windscreen, your entire life disappears.
Yeah.
They come and take your television away.
The Home Office has confirmed that the cards won't contain information on racial origin, sexual orientation, religious belief, health, political affiliation, or criminal convictions. We'll have all that tattooed on our foreheads instead. 2 points to Jeremy Krishnan. Why is New Labour experiencing both a boom and a bust at the same time?
Is this about house prices?
Hmm.
Well, house prices are going up by about 20% a year, so nobody can afford a house. And this is going to cause great problems to all New Labour's policies, because they're not going to be able to afford to do many things if the economy goes down and growth goes down, and they're not going to be able to pay for all their new schools and hospitals that they keep telling us about, and we're all going to have to move to Scunthorpe.
There'll be letters about this, Krishnan. Wouldn't like to rephrase that.
Alan could sell out and buy Scunthorpe, couldn't you?
I'm not worried. My house has gone up 30% since the programme began. Get home, won't be able to afford to move in.
How can it work, though? My house, in 9 years, my house has gone up in value by about four times. Now, admittedly, we've bought some things and put them in the cupboards, but we've eaten most of that. In fact, we've knocked down three walls. There's actually less house than there was. What is a house? It's just a few bricks and a bit of grouting. You can find the makings of a house in any skip, along with a shopping trolley to help you move and a single trainer, which makes for a useful and safe cat toy.
You built my house.
What?
You built my house, didn't you?
Ah, it'll be ready Tuesday.
But that can't account for four times the value, really, can it?
It's just the world gone mad. We're all middle-aged,
Simon,
aren't we?
What's it all mean?
I'll tell you what, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
The Nationwide and Halifax Building Societies forecast the cost of housing will increase by 20% this year. The housing boom has caused concern for people trying to get on the property ladder, particularly as they can't now get a mortgage to buy the ladder in the first place. Linda, listen to this. Linda, why are doctors now in touch with their feminine side?
Because most of them are girls now. It's a girl's job now, being a doctor. I'm not quite sure why. Do you know, Alan, why?
I know, but bang goes doctors and nurses. Why, then again... Why don't?
Girls do better at A-level. So they get into medical school, and the boys don't get in. And the boys apparently all want higher-paid jobs, because $80,000 a year isn't enough for your average bloke, apparently. The bloke doctors are very concerned that they should change the entry procedures into medical school to psychometric tests, because they say it's not fair, because girls are genetically better.
So it should involve questions like, instead of questions about medicine, questions like, who would win a fight between a shark and a tiger?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Lordy.
If you could be any footballer in the world, who would it be?
You're better off having a woman doctor, aren't you? Just because, I mean, it must be a bit horrible giving birth in hospital and this florid public schoolboy in a big bow tie comes and says, "Hello, my darling, is that 8 centimetres dilation or are you just pleased to see me?"
But as you get older, it gets a bit more perturbing, I think, to go and see a woman doctor if you're a man. I don't know if you've had this experience. I'm sure Alan has.
You're talking about recreational proctology here, aren't you?
It's just the things you go and see a doctor for tend to be things you want a chap, don't you?
No, I sleep with a doctor every night. I've done for 40 years. Tell me the world are good.
She is an anaesthetist, your missus, though, isn't she? For years, you haven't been able to remember.
I was going to say touché, or perhaps not.
For years, you couldn't remember what these auto-erotic experiences that you keep having. Just slit this over your nose and mouth, darling. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, sorry, darling.
Just a little prick, it won't hurt me at all. For the first time ever, more women than men are graduating from medical school, which is thought to be because women are dedicated to their medical studies, while men waste all their time studying anatomy. Are we doing Bush's operation?
Bush had an operation on the weekend.
Did
he? They did a colonoscopy.
He had a colonoscopy.
They thought it might be a polyp up there, but it was just Tony Blair.
Alan, how has the Star-Spangled Banner got a stranglehold on the UN?
We're recording this on July the 4th, and the sun has not yet set, so I'm a bit uneasy about this. There is a move afoot, I believe the word is, to create an international criminal court, and the Americans don't really like this because they think it might make them stop behaving like international criminals. And they really don't want English policemen coming up and saying, "Have you got an identity card? Or is that your helicopter parked on a double yellow line?" So they've refused to sign up to what it is you have to sign up to let these international people in wigs tell you what to do. And they are staying in Afghanistan for a bit because it's fun. But wherever else their K4s are, they're going to withdraw, I think.
They're so blatant about their guilt and shame, aren't they? Their reaction was like, war crimes? Oh, we don't know nothing about no war crimes. Yeah, we ain't never been to Vietnam. No, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, it was the Ruskies. Yeah, that's it. That's right.
The Americans have threatened to pull out of the UN peacekeeping force unless they're given immunity from prosecution by the new International Criminal Court. And after this week's stunt at an Afghanistan wedding, the Americans need all the immunity they can get. The 4th of July is a time for holding barbecues and drinking beer, an activity known here as Sunday. We start round two with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Mr. Ken Livingstone has always been an enthusiastic uncle, once taking his nieces and nephews to meet Mr. Blair at Chequers because they missed a visit to the zoo.
Thanks to Francis Saw of Sheffield for sending that. Jeremy, who's trying to give his re-election campaign a shot in the arm?
William Burroughs is standing for Brent Council. Livingstone. Mayor Livingstone has decided to rehabilitate himself in the minds of people who think that he might be somewhat crotchety and bibulous, and said that people shouldn't inoculate babies because they need to learn the hard way.
It sounds a bit like he's setting himself up as the martyr for when he's rejected from Labour Party re-entry, though, don't you think?
Yes.
Sounds so much more exciting than it is, Labour Party re-entry.
Also, when you haven't had a kid yet and you're about to have one, I don't think you should be lecturing parents on the skills of parenting, because 6 months later, covered in vomit and with no sleep, looking like a panda every morning, you'll just be destroyed and take back every word you said. Because when I was young, I just thought, I'm going to be such a good dad and I'm going to just be brilliant. I'm going to be like a friend. I'll never lay down the law. I'll always explain everything. We'll work through issues together. And consequently, my daughter's 12 and treats me with absolute contempt.
You know, when you listen to Ken Livingstone, I quite like to sort of play a game of counting the number of times he says Londoners. And for about two sentences, it's quite good fun. So, you know, Londoner, Londoner, Londoner. But then it drives you mad. Honestly, and it's all you can hear for the rest of the day. Londoners.
He also manages to make the words I think into the sound oink.
Mr. Livingstone's claim that the MMR jab was just a way for the NHS bureaucracy to save time and money was rejected by NHS bureaucrats, who pointed out they've never managed to save time or money in all their lives. The mayor has been rightly criticised for talking about something he knows nothing about. Critics have called on him to leave matters to the experts, people like Rick Mayall and George Michael. 2 points to Jeremy. Christian, who picked up a digital licence for a monkey?
The BBC and Rupert Murdoch are to take over the defunct ITV Digital, which went sadly bust, for all those people who've got the boxes. And the BBC is going to run free-to-air channels. And Murdoch, who was prevented from being involved in the original ITV Digital, has now come to its rescue on the condition that he has absolutely nothing to do with the service. He's allowed to be involved, but not involved.
Exactly.
And
right.
It's a very, very bad decision for Channel 4, who are prevented from putting their channels on because they're pay channels, and ITV. All the bosses of ITV seem to have resigned in the last sort of couple of weeks, and they're all just pretty suicidal and going away.
Will we get Paramount Comedy?
I think you'll get pretty good comedy. I don't know if you'll get Paramount.
No, no. You just don't take this seriously at all, do you, Chris?
We've never had straight. Anybody on this programme who knew things before.
It's quite frightening, isn't
it's
it, really?
It's
a bit of a shock, yes.
So you see, Peter, he listens to himself when he reads the news.
Well, somebody's got to, haven't they? I work for Channel 4, remember, so I'm not accustomed to large audiences. This is bloody scary.
BBC and BSky have been awarded the licence left by the collapse of ITV Digital. Rupert Murdoch claims 4 million people watch Sky, mainly because clouds are far more interesting than any of his programmes. Jeremy, who went round the world in 13 days?
It was Balloon Boy, isn't it? I have to express, I mean, albeit he's not supposed to be running a railway at the same time, but I do find these people tiresome because he's got a balloon and he's just running around the world saying, look, everyone, I've got a balloon. And it's obviously a bid for attention. Just ignore them. And they say, look, look, world, look, I'm going round you in a balloon. You just say, eh? Yes, that's nice, darling. That's the way to react to them.
Anyway, so not a balloon, that thing he's been in. I mean, a balloon is a wicker basket with David Niven in it.
No, that's Moses.
Moses isn't quite as suave, is he, as David Niven?
The American balloonist Steve Fossett completed the first solo round-the-world balloon flight. He spent the past 2 weeks living in a tiny capsule on meagre rations, enduring freezing temperatures and sleep deprivation, an experience he prepared for by spending a month living as an OAP in a Glasgow tower block. His flight came close to disaster when he struggled to keep control over the Andes, when he got pins and needles in one of the armies.
Oh, no!
Oh, dear me.
I'd have to call that cruel and unusual, yes. That.
Before we start the final round, here's an advertisement from Summerfield's magazine.
What nicer way to start your morning than with your favourite kiddie characters? Kellogg's has created a cereal that your children will love, with biscuits shaped like poo.
Thanks to Lucy Westway of Billericay. Jeremy, listen to this.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving place. Fire all of the guns and pumps and explode into space.
Jeremy, what animal this week disproved Orwell's theory, four legs good, two legs bad?
Well, it's true about Krishna knowing everything, because I haven't got a clue, but he has written down, in block capitals, Tina Tortoise with. And then he suddenly stopped writing. So carry on, Krishna, and then...
You know, you get that feeling that you're doing something completely futile. That's what happened as I started writing that down.
Now, don't lose confidence. We've been getting away with this crap for years.
Tina. Tina the tortoise, is that it? It is Tina the tortoise, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Tina the tortoise was very depressed. Because...
Oh, don't you start.
Tina the tortoise was very depressed because she had her leg eaten by a predator. And a model shop built her a wheel. And so they... So they put this tortoise on an axle with McPherson struts and an independent suspension at the front. And she's away now. I mean, she's the fastest tortoise on the block.
Only downhill, okay. Presumably. I mean...
How does she get uphill?
Whoa. And I have to say, I saw a picture of it, and I have to say, as a prosthetic limb, it's not that discreet. It's a big wheel on one corner of the tortoise. It's as if someone here, God forbid, lost their leg, and they strapped you to a unicycle, really. It's what it looks like. So it... He's on this wheel and presumably taking more than usual interest in Jeremy Clarkson now. And it's, I don't know what they do. A tortoise on a wheel, what do? They're probably with the other tortoises. They act out bits from films. They're probably doing Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And the one with the wheel says, you wouldn't do these things, Jane, if I wasn't in this chair. And the other one goes, but you are, Blanche, you are. I've not been well.
After losing her leg, Tina had become depressed, though this was less to do with losing her leg, more to do with seeing Rolf Harris and the crew arriving.
Are we doing Tin Hen Man with his sort of triumphalist grimacing and exhorting his fans to shout, come on, Tim, and make a mistake and fall over, you filthy foreign bastard! All these fans, these horrible legions of sort of thwarted, vengeful promenaders and... patio for Langists and money box listeners all sitting there. Planning, if he gets to the final, to put the opponent off by having Apache helicopters blare the ride of the Valkyrie. Struck a chord that, didn't it? Moneybox listeners, you know they just sit at home naked clutching their telecom share, don't you? With their patio tongs in the other hand, their barbecue tools. I get to hold the sharp things on the patio.
Christian, which fossil discovery proved to be quite a feat?
This is the first... I don't know what they call it. Was it a tetrapod or something like that? It's the first walking creature discovered on Earth, which is 350 million years old. And this was a missing link because they found things that were 360 million years old and things that were 340 million years old. So scientists, in their way, are extremely excited about finding something 350 million years old. And it's a Scot, and it was called Donald. And that's all I know about that.
The Pedapes finii is a 350 million-year-old fossil, which was previously thought to be a fish, but they discovered legs, so it wasn't.
Well, that's paleontology summed up in a nutshell.
They discovered legs, so it wasn't.
The fish. Fish don't have legs.
Four audience,
Pedapes is now officially classified as a tetrapod, a vertebrate with four legs, not to be confused with a Tetra Pak, which is a means of stopping you getting some milk. Linda, why are school music lessons sounding flat?
Because of the recorder.
It is.
Apparently, playing the recorder puts children off music for life. I find children playing the recorders put me off children for life, actually. You know, once you've heard Father hear the prayer we offer off-key several times, the urge to reenact a scene from a Hieronymus Bosch painting becomes quite overwhelming. Just lucky they don't play the bagpipes. Could be more serious. But so this is what it is. Apparently they'd rather play more groovy things, like triangles.
Correct.
I played the triangle at school.
Did you?
And I still can. You never lose the neck.
Lack of interest in the recorder goes a long way to explaining the failure of Simon Cowell's latest ITV show, Recorder Idol. Alan, who lost her head at the Guildhall?
Well, there are two great head stories, if I may put it that way, this week. There's Baroness Thatcher and there's Nigella Lawson. And Nigella Lawson... who lives with Charles Saatchi, who was a collector of great modern art and also a lot of crap, owned a head by Mark Quinn made out of 9 pints of his own blood, which he froze and put in the freezer and had the builders in, Nigella and Charlie, and the sculpture melted. I think it was a different story.
Because the builders unplugged the fridge, didn't they?
They unplugged the fridge, but I've seen those things she did about a domestic goddess, and she's an honoured colleague here. And she always goes down in the middle of the night, you know, just to have a bit of a nibble
really?
At whatever's in the fridge. I think we're actually talking about Margaret Thatcher and a bloke with a long pole, or a long pole with a bloke. These two people came in, and I know that a 6-foot pole was involved. It could have been the tennis, or it must have been Mrs. Thatcher. But anyway, Mrs. Thatcher, that marble statue, it was a wonderful picture once it had gone. It was just the handbag and the hands, wasn't it? And you wanted... My children used to have those games where you... called Guess Who, where you flipped heads over.
Oh, yes.
And you wanted to put other heads on the back of your handbag.
Pinochet.
I know, it was so good. But they've got the head, but it's just the nose that's gone. And he's gone, I don't know how you do a marble nose. Mm. And it's not that sort of marble. Like that. I don't think you roll the nose down the school playground. but it's not... It's sculpture, it's not clay, so they've got to build a new Margaret Thatcher nose. Mm. She's got to have to sit to have this nose done, presumably. She sits there while he takes his little bit of thing and chisels it away like a cosmetic surgeon. And then they graft it back on with a bit of araldite, I suppose. It's such a terrible thing to happen to such a wonderful woman. I was so sad. But you hoped it was a bit like voodoo, that somewhere in a house, Dennis was walking about saying... And she was so tall this morning.
It did amuse me that the police were sort of described this crime and then said, we can find no motive. thought, that's when you've got to start worrying about the police force, haven't you, really? If you can't find a motive for that one, you probably couldn't find a city broker in Spearmint Rhino, could you, really?
Spokesman for Lady Thatcher said she would never have appreciated or stood for that kind of vandalism. What she liked was the destruction of the steel industry, the coal industry, and the power industry. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. This was sent in by somebody called Neville, I think, from Oswestry. It's from the Yellow Pages, and it says, Noel Jones Chimney Sweep, established 1964, Shrewsbury and neighbouring villages. I specialise in all aspects of chimney cleaning by brush and vacuum, available for weddings.
This comes from Mrs. Joan Potts from Liverpool, and it's from the Sunday Times. An armed robber suddenly changed his mind in the middle of a raid, handed back the £60 he'd been given, and asked the shop owner to call the police. When police officers arrived to arrest him in answer to his request, the robber explained that all had been going well until he suddenly remembered he'd forgotten to wear his mask.
Linda.
This was sent in by Christine Porter, and it's from the Bristol Evening Post. A man and a woman are believed to be being held hostage at a house under siege by armed police today. About 30 officers were on the scene, and armed police officers kept rifles trained on the property as they stood behind two marked police estate cars. At one stage, a team of officers wearing bulletproof vests and helmets used a battering ram in a failed attempt to try to break down the front door of the house. A police inspector at the scene said, "The aim is to make the situation as amicable as possible."
Alan.
Well, Simon, this is from my local paper, the Marylebone Mercury. It says, the escalating prices mean that even successful young professionals are unable to buy property in the Marylebone area. Jason Donnelly is a 30-year-old marketing director, but he is still living in his mother's horse.
Before we leave you, here's an item from the Rocky Mountain News sent in by David Clifton.
Clarification. The front page photo of Monday's print edition left the false impression with some readers that it showed something that clearly didn't belong in a family newspaper. A man's testicle. The misleading effect was created by a shadow. It was, in fact, a portrait of Fred Finlay.
With that, goodbye!
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Curran, Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith and Krishnan Gurumurthy. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script is written by George Poles, Paul McKenzie and Simon Littlefield, and the producer was Lucy Armitage.